This episode of the Better Every Shift podcast is brought to you by Lexapol, the experts in policy, training, wellness support, and grants assistance for first responders and government leaders. To learn more, visit lexapol.com. That's L-E-X-I-P-O-L.com. Now let's get into the show.
Hey, everybody, welcome to the Better Every Shift podcast. I am your host, Aaron Zamzo. I'm a fire officer up in Wisconsin. I am also a writer for Fire Rescue One. I am not alone here, though, on the show. Of course, with me, as always, is the commander, Janelle Fasquets, who is the editor-in-chief of Fire Rescue One. Janelle, welcome to the party today, huh?
Oh, it's such a party. We've got so many people joining us today.
We do. If you're watching this on video, you're seeing that we are not alone. We have with us some very, very intelligent gentlemen that work with this firefighter safety stand down. You can read more about firefighter safety stand down. It's a week-long annual event. It's a joint initiative supported by federal fire service organizations in which fire EMS departments, they're encouraged to suspend all non-emergency activity to focus on training and education related to this year's theme, which we'll get to in a minute. Obviously, the goal then is to reduce the number of preventable injuries and deaths in the fire and emergency services. This is it's a joint initiative. We have some of the brains and the efforts behind that today with these great organizations. Really quickly, we are welcoming back Deputy Fire Chief Darren Wallentine. He's with Sarasota County Fire Department in Florida, and at-large director for the IEFC's Safety, Health, and Survival section, and is the Safety Stand-Down Committee chairperson. We also have Grady Valensis, who's a deputy director of the IFF Health and Safety Operational Services Department. He has retired from the rank of battalion chief from Prince George's County in Maryland, but he is still very, very vocal and very involved with helping with this cause. And then from FDSOA, we got Jim Barnhart, who is a captain who serves with Mesa, Arizona Fire Medical Department as the department's safety captain. He's been contributing to the SSD curriculum for the last 2 years as a representative of the FDSOA. My gosh, it's a party. Welcome to the show, gentlemen. Chief, you are back again with us. Thank you for being here. I'm going to start with you. First of all, how are you doing? And then second of all, I'm going to ask you, give us the elevator pitch of what the safety stand down is all about.
Well, Zam, first, I just want to thank you and Janelle for having me back. It's always a pleasure. And so again, we're back at it. We've been preparing for the last several months on this year's safety stand down. We're scheduled for June 16th through the 22nd. This is truly a collaboration between the IAFC, the IAFF, the FDSOA, and then also the National Volunteer Fire Council, and then NFPA. So we have a much larger group than the three that you see here today that help make this all happen. So we are asking for our firefighters, both career and volunteer, both fire and EMS personnel, to recognize this third week of June as safety stand down, where they do their very best to try to focus on things that are going to keep us safe, healthy, keep us well over the course of our careers. And it's just one of these opportunities for us to just focus on what's most important, which is everybody goes home. And we do all of this on behalf of our nation's firefighters. So, and I just want to say, Grady, you never retire. You always kind of, just like the mafia, you get tugged back in. You're never going to be able to escape. And that's the same way with Jim from Mesa. So,
well, speaking of Grady, he is retired, but still very, very active. Grady, by the way, welcome to the show. Thank you for being here. I'm going to ask you, hey, how are you? Number one. And number two, why don't you announce what the theme for this year is going to be?
Thanks, Aaron. No, it's a pleasure to be here. Aaron and Janelle, thank you for your assistance. And I appreciate Darren's work and Jim's work. I've been working with them in the group for the last couple of years. Our theme of this year's Safety Stand Down Week, which again is June 16th through 22nd, is fire training back to basics. And the five daily focus areas will highlight building the foundation of a training program, assessing the needs of the community and the department, safety during training, physical and behavioral and mental health considerations, and our 12 foundations for fire department training.
And how'd you select the theme this year?
So part of the focus that we had, and first of all, last year's safety stand down was an incredible success in the sense that we brought something very relevant and timely in the lithium ion battery conversation. That is something that's emerged and just kind of exploded, so to speak, throughout the fire service. And so what we did and the collaboration amongst all of our organizations, we did reach out to all of our people, our members, to find out what's important to them and what should we be focusing on this year. And amongst a variety of topics, which included mental health, crew-based accountability, one of the things that did kind of bubble to the surface was fire training. And it's a kind of a back to basics approach. You know, we get focused on a lot of the details of what we do, but ultimately, you know, we want to practice the way we play, but we also want to do that, you know, safely and apply the things that we've learned, not only in like decon and, you know, rehab. We want to apply those same principles to the training environment, as well as, you know, our folks who are practicing and getting ready to run those calls. So that was kind of the emphasis, and it was a collective group decision to go this direction because of all of the feedback we got from our partner agencies.
So Jim, I'm going to direct a question to you then. Welcome to the program, Captain. Appreciate you being here. So as this is starting to evolve, you broke down into back to basics, but then that's a very broad, wide spectrum. Talk a little bit more about how you guys narrowed this down and kept focusing on where we are with what you guys came up with as far as resources and topics.
Yeah. First off, Aaron and Janelle, thank you very much. Very happy to be here. I'm always humbled when we get these interactions, especially having the ability to talk across the entire country, if not North America. So I do appreciate it. I think Chief Valentine is selling himself a little bit short, and I mean that respectfully. This group that we speak of, right, all these different, from different agencies with all these complicated acronyms, right, but it's that we settle on these topics in that kind of group think, and as things start to bubble up and you see things starting to, I guess, reappear, similar ideas. He always cites how it's kind of chaos at the beginning. And as you progress through it, you go through these collaborative meetings where everybody's just throwing things at the wall and seeing what sticks. Things start to just kind of organically start to appear. And we stuck really close with training. I think initially it was going to be 10 foundations of training, and that grew out, right? When you start to add in things like we look at peer support and mental health and well-being, right? But that promptly grew. And then we just look at those 12 foundations, and then how do you break it up in something digestible to the nation's fire service? And we kind of broke that down into the 4 days, right? Five days, specifically to how do you, if you were a brand new department and you had to come up with a training division, right? We discussed things like, what is your community risk assessment? What does your community expect for your fire department? How do you develop the talent, that group of cadre, those instructors inside your organization? And then you start to provide that information out. You set the role models. You give them foundations and things to do, best practices like documentation, something very important to all of us, trying to substantiate what and why we do things. So it's a great process to be a part of, but if it wasn't for the overall group and everybody from the NVFC, NFPA, IAFF, the I Chiefs, right, FDSOA, it's having those backgrounds from all those different organizations that come together and kind of help us put this together.
Yeah, I can picture almost like, you know, how they do the how they choose the teams for the NCAA basketball tournament, right? All you guys locked in this room and people just throwing ideas up and giving the pros and cons. Chief Wallentine, Is it pretty intense, or is it just like, oh my God, there's so many different things, you know? And Jim was kind of elaborating that a little bit, but you've done this now for quite a few years. Like, do you just say, hey, here's what we're thinking, or is it a free for all at first?
So, it is a little bit of both. I think as we start to come back and regrouped after last year, it was one of those. I mean, lithium ion battery, the whole topic last year. I mean, we had more than 47,000, you know, people visit the site. We had more than 70 something thousand page views. And so we eclipsed our past years, and that just kind of grew organically out of a process of working with Chief Michael O'Brien up in Michigan on a very important topic on a subcommittee. And I happened to be a part of that. So I brought it back to the committee last year as the topic. Well, this year it was much more, I was getting a little worried as we started meeting. We didn't have any idea about what the topic's going to be. I didn't have a silver bullet to pull out, you know, to make this one happen. And so it came back to the principle of, you know, we have a vast amount of resources with the organizations that we represent from our positions. And so what better way than to put it out, you know, to them? And so at least from my perspective, I reached out through the IAFC and KnowledgeNet to put out what do our chief officers want to see out of the safety stand down this year? And so I got a variety of responses, just like I know that Grady and Jim from their respective organizations, they reached out to their folks. And so we whiteboarded it. We talked about the different topics that were out there, but in the end, we collaboratively and collectively decided on the fire training back to basics being that topic for this year. So it was virtual. It was a group effort for this one.
So no fisticuffs, nothing interesting, no bribes, nothing like that. Well, I might, you know, I'm going to have my own vision of what happens, but it's great. Unbelievably great topic. Grady, I'm going to direct the next question to you and talk about, well, what resources can we find when we go to Safety Stand Down, to the website, and kind of give us the big approach about the resources this year.
Yeah, the website is extremely comprehensive. I would like to shout out to Kimberly Quirk at the NVFC for all of her diligence and placing the documents that we've been providing to her over these past few weeks. And Darren really does run these meetings in a very masterful way, where he's able to, you know, drill down from this, you know, whiteboard full of ideas into, you know, a cohesive group of ideas that are small chunks that are manageable for that week. The website does have a number of different resources and links to various other websites on, you know, training properly, setting training plans that are based on community needs and risk assessments. You know, one thing that I learned over the years was the best way to shut down training was to start injuring firefighters and or tearing up equipment. You know, people at higher levels of organizations dislike when they start seeing injuries because of the training. So that's something that you need to be mindful of when you're setting your training plan, working together with the group that's assembled for that training, doing walkthroughs, if it's a structural training or things like that, documentation, as Jim alluded to make sure that all of that is documented. And then again, where we might've started with 10 key points, we expanded to include some of the newer positive things that you're seeing in the fire service, including decon, you know, after coming out of a structure fire or a hazmat incident. You know, always there with hazmat, but coming out of a structure fire, we are really starting to do well with that. And then the behavioral health and recognizing the importance of peer support and things like that, because, you know, everyone's going through what they're going through, and there is no one size fits all approach to behavioral health and mental wellness. So including those topics into the Safety Stand Down Week were very important to the group assembled. So I think if anyone that's listening goes onto the Safety Stand Down page, they will be blown away by the amount of content and resources that the group has assembled.
Chief or Captain, would you like to share a couple examples of some of the training evolutions that are detailed in those resources?
How about we go through the 12 foundations and then we can discuss kind of some of the resources and things, because really, I think the safetystanddown.org, our webpage, it's just a phenomenal clearinghouse. It gives people one-stop shopping to go and you can pick and choose. We're not telling you, you have to digest all of this. If your department's really getting into peer support needs and behavioral health, we've got all those resources there for you, right? If you are in the infancy of just trying to identify, what do we need? What is it that my community expects of me, so I can identify how to build a training program to fill those community needs? So, but if we look at the 12 foundations of fire department training, we kind of break these into little bit slightly into groups, right? They don't have to go in numerical order, but it did break out into the 5-day week. So we're making sure we're capturing all of our shifts across, you know, some of us out here nowadays, we're running 24-hour shifts as well as 12-hour shifts in conjunction with each other. So it's getting very complicated to cast that net to get all your people through anything. So, but we start off with just setting our goals, right? And that's just, what is it? What are your training objectives and your expectations? And then communicate that well to everybody. We take the time to prepare, right? So you're giving good quality tangibles, those things that are good takeaways that hopefully make a mark on our folks. Assign mentors, however we do that, whether it's training cadre or it's people out in the field, those kind of opinion leaders that folks like to listen to around that kitchen table, we try to activate those folks. Want to document, that's something big, hot and heavy for us right now, especially as we go through our ISO ratings. Documentation is key, and we're getting better, but we're not hitting the mark yet. Establish and follow your training plans, right? Train like you operate, and then based on standards, organizational SOPs, SOGs. Number 7, do everything possible to ensure the safety of all personnel during training. And much like Grady mentioned, for us, it's a home run if I can get through a quarterly training and realize we don't have any significant injuries or equipment injuries. That makes it easier to fund those things the next go around. Situational awareness, that was a big one. This was our safety stand down topic, right in the not too distant past, but kind of aware of the environment that's around you. Acknowledge and accept your responsibilities, right, for the safety of everyone on the training ground. Everyone involved needs to know when to say stop, right? To put your foot down and say, this is starting to go sideways. I don't care if it's a 1-year firefighter or a 30-year veteran. We all have that voice and that responsibility to intervene. Properly decon and rehab. And that's big. We're making a big push for that across the entire fire service. We know how well it is for us, how well it does for us for our long-term exposures. So we want to take that same mindset from our work in fires into our training grounds. And then incorporate behavioral health. And I use a small example. We did firefighter recovery drills. What here locally, tragically, we call the Tarver recovery drills. It's what Phoenix Fire Department went through many years ago. But we identified there was some significant mental health issues that were created by those drills, especially at 30-year veterans that were going back into their gear to go through a very extensive, very physically demanding drill. And they felt the impacts of that and how maybe they realized that the sun was setting on their career a little bit sooner than they initially bargained for. So we try to couple our peer support and our mental health needs, right, as we balance through any bit of our training. So, but we can take all these and then how you apply it, you can use it as a framework or you can pick and choose out of there and apply it, overlay it onto your organization and see where your gaps are and where you can help identify or fill some of those voids.
And Chief Wontime, I'm going to have you just elaborate on that. So let's say I'm going to have you go back to when you were a training chief or even a new officer, kind of like me. I'm actually just using this for my own personal benefit right now. How do you use the resources to train your crew or to set it up? I mean, give me kind of a, you know, your approach, because you're obviously very close to this, you know, all the ins and outs of it, but I'm looking at the page and there's a lot there. Which, right, by the way, you don't just need to access during this week, right? Like you can access this, all this information throughout the year and integrate it in that way. So, you know, give me kind of a more of a application side of this.
So Jim went through and highlighted all of these and kind of the approach that I was thinking of, at least or in the group that we were approaching. It's kind of like this, you know, in Wildland, it's the 10 standard fire orders or the 18 situations that shout, watch out. You know, you end up learning those and you instill those in your firefighters. And so with our, with the vast amount of information that's going to be available to folks on the website, we came up with, and I'll just show you real quick, the 12 foundations on a, this is a deliverable that's going to be able to be downloaded either in an 8.5 by 11 or in a poster form, a little bit larger. But really it's taking these very basic principles and applying it to every training exercise, whether it's on the training ground at the academy or whether as a company officer, Zam, when you go out with your crew and you're going to have some sort of a multi-company drill that you're going to lead, there are parts of this that you can apply in any scenario that you're going to train on. I mean, whether it's pulling hose, whether it's master stream operations, whether it's an active shooter, you know, sort of a rescue task force sort of training, anything that you are going to put together as a part of a training, these principles are going to be key for every step of that development of the training plan. So this is going to be put in the hands of our lieutenants and captains, our training chiefs. But in essence, what this is basically a guide for you to have something where you're putting safety out there in front. We had, when I worked for the Tucson Fire Department, I had the opportunity to participate in like the vent in or isolate search. That was a very strenuous all day, everybody in turnouts for most of the day in Tucson, and it was hot. And so we had to build in rehab each for the morning session, the afternoon session, and none of the crews got to clear from training until they went through a full-blown rehab like we do on the fire scene. So everybody's blood pressure, heart rate, everything had to be within normal limits before we would release them to go back in service to go run calls. So again, it comes back to this, and I think that Grady came up with part of this for the train like you operate. Let's practice the way we play, you know? And so let's apply those principles in the training scenarios just like we do each and every day out there serving the public.
And that brings up a good question to Grady then. So if you are, you know, using some of this stuff, does this mean performing a lot of these in gear, performing them, you know, real time, or looking at where you're at with your particular organization and saying, okay, sometimes we can go a little bit slower at this just to make sure we get the foundation down and then progressing. I think you had mentioned planning was a big part of this. So elaborate a little bit on that as far as practice how you play.
Great question, Aaron. Yeah, I think everyone's probably heard the slow is smooth and smooth is fast adage that, you know, often is relayed during training. You know, personally, I know I have to slow down a lot of times when I'm trying to get things done. I think that's not very difficult to see in our new recruits that are just learning, and, you know, they want to be the best. They want to be the fastest to get something done, but it might not always be the prettiest. So getting people to methodically learn that it starts with, you know, the alarm and getting, you know, the gear on properly and putting your gear on properly every single time. You know, we've heard practice makes perfect. Perfect practice makes perfect. You know, so if you're always putting that gear on properly, then you're going to reduce the chances of getting, you know, any type of a thermal injury. You know, whatever the task is, doing it, you know, repping it out multiple times, as anyone that's done team sports can attest to. You know, you're not going to get good by doing it once and then, you know, not coming back to it for the next year or even 6 months. I mean, everything that we do is perishable. You know, every skill that we have has a shelf life. And if you practice this week and you don't do it for another 6 months, then you're probably not going to be very good at it the 6 months down the road. So I think it's just important to just be consistent and do everything, you know, the same way, how you put your gear on and things like that, because we know that the situations out there are ever changing. They're dynamic. There's new technologies that are being thrown at us without our knowledge, you know, that we just come upon in our daily service. And so we just have to be, we know we can control how we put our gear on and how we protect ourselves and how we exercise that scene safety. So, you know, it's very important to just do that consistently.
Hey, Jim, I got a question for you too. As far as like somebody, if they're thinking right now, they're listening to this, they're like, well, we just don't have time to do all this. You know, how would you respond to that statement or that mindset?
Well, if we look at the entirety of the week, right, and this is, we all put in a lot of hours every single month, every single year, dedicated to the citizens that we serve. We put a priority on ourselves, right, to make sure we're trained, have the right equipment, the right systems and processes are in play to allow us to fill the needs of our community. This is 1 week we're given to ourselves. Right. You can say every day there may be some health fitness stuff going on. Every day there could be some meditation. You may be talking to counselors. You may be just doing crew based training around your firehouse. But this is dedicating an organization. Some of our organizations are very large and complex. And we're giving our people 1 week. So we say, if you're going to tell us you're too busy to get into this, but just take part of it. Find something that you can extrapolate out of there. If you can't make all 5 days, maybe you get three, maybe you get two of them. Maybe it's something we come back to 4 months from now, because folks, here in August, right, Chief Wallentine, he can back me up on this. It's going to get real hot real fast here, and we're not doing much outside. So these are perfect opportunities to take some training at the kitchen table. Let's go back inside the day room and let's discuss some of these things, right? But just take what you can digest in the available time that you have, and then use the resources that are there for you throughout the entirety of the rest of the year.
Yeah, Grady, you want to add to that?
It brings up a lot of good points there. And I think that, you know, again, being out of the fire service since prior to the pandemic beginning, I think those of you that are remaining in the fire service and in these fire stations and EMS stations after the pandemic have seen a drastic change. The call volume and the workload has increased. Our staffing has decreased. You know, departments are fighting for funding. And, you know, I think that's creating this perfect storm of our firefighters and EMS personnel that are being stuck at work for, you know, sometimes 72, 96 hours straight. And, you know, they're just plain tired, you know, and it's a matter of, I just want to be able to relax in between calls. And, you know, I think that the commentary about, you know, how do you make time when someone says, well, I don't have time for that, you know, this 1 week out of the year, you know, I mean, I guess one of the more harsh responses to that could be something like, it's either make time now, or it's going to be making time to visit a colleague that's unfortunately in the hospital or worse. And none of us wants to go through that, you know, ever again in our times in the fire service.
Like, give me some other ideas that crews can use to integrate this in within their day.
So I'm going to do a shameless plug for my good friend Frank Lieb and his book, The Cornerstone of Leadership. So reading through his book, I mean, he's talking about one of his mentors, one of his captains. At 3 o'clock in the morning, they had just been coming back from a call. And all of a sudden, as his captain yells at him, pull over. And he immediately pulls over. He didn't know what was going on. But apparently, it's a new style roll-up door that was installed for one of these occupancies. And this captain had no idea how they were going to get through it. So sure enough, they pull over. And 3 o'clock in the morning, following a call, they're out there looking at and talking about how they're going to, you know, force entry on this if it happens. And that's just a prime example, Zam, that every call that we go on, we should be pre-planning. We should be preparing for what if. And it could be a lift assist or a diabetic call where we help, you know, Mrs. Smith. And but we're also, you know, taking a look at those bars that are on the outside of that house and how are we going to force those? You know, how are we going to approach this if we have a fire that's in Division Charlie? So It's all of these things that we should be preparing for. And as Jim mentioned in one of our past safety stand downs, situational awareness, you never know what's going to happen on these calls. And there's times now where we have to start looking for what's our escape route, you know, not necessarily in a wildland sense, but what's our escape route if somebody is coming at us with a weapon? How are we preparing for those types of inevitable calls that are going to happen? Because for me, I've experienced that being the deputy chief in Tucson. And so we have to be prepared for all of these inevitabilities. And so it takes an active, very intentional company officer who will help mentor those firefighters that are coming up through the organization so that they can focus on safety as being our primary role for the safety of our crews. So,
yeah, there's a lot of learnable and teachable moments. We just have to be in the right mindset to find them and then, you know, take just a moment to spur the conversation with a crew. And I've been very, very fortunate the last 2 years to be able to talk to very smart and forward-thinking individuals like yourselves. So I've been taking notes over the years and trying to do some of that too. I also like Chief Lieb's story where he was on a alarm call at 3 a.m. and his captain or his chief, you know, asked him how many stories the building was in. And he's like, shoot, I don't know. He looked at his least senior firefighter, said, how many stories is this? And I think he said 5. And he said, you better be right. But he said it made him always think about, you know, taking every instance that he can. All right, do a proper size up, even if nothing's showing, you just don't know. And I think what you, you know, we experienced last year with the lithium ion batteries, which you guys did a wonderful job covering, some of these hazards are just not as in the foresight as we think, but they're still there. So Janelle, I want to bring you in on what Fire Rescue One is doing. We have some resources as well.
Oh yeah, absolutely. And I'll include the link to our page in the show notes. But every year we always support the Safety Stand Down message. We'll have additional articles. So just watch for those resources in advance of the Stand Down week. And then that week as well. I want to double down for a second though on the idea of, you know, not having time. People saying like, how can we possibly devote a week of our time to this? And, you know, everybody here on the panel touched on this really well, but I just want to emphasize, I mean, back to basics training, this is the foundation, right, of what we do. So it's really, there should be no excuse, but also, I think Chief Wallentine, you had mentioned, you know, there are certain reports that come out that have informed this decision as well. And some of the unfortunate things that can happen when the training doesn't occur or that can provide some of those lessons learned. Do you want to take a moment to share on those reports and how they have informed the stand down theme?
So I'm briefly going to respond to that, but I'll turn it over to Grady. He did bring to our committee a injury to a firefighter that was preparing a training exercise. But really, I think that this is a matter of making sure that we're not complacent in our approach. Complacency is a potentially a killer to our firefighters because we work in a very dangerous occupation, whether it's on the fire scene or whether it's on, you know, repeated exposures to things that can cause cancer. Wear your SCBA more than you're already wearing it. Limit the exposure, the inhalation to all of those things that will inevitably, you know, cause, you know, cancer. But I'm going to turn it over to Grady real quick for him to respond to that, if you don't mind.
Yeah, no, I saw over the weekend from the secret list. Thank goodness for Billy G and the information that he provides. We had, unfortunately, a fire instructor that suffered injuries as a result of a flash fire while setting up a training scenario. You know, and again, I think all of us can probably think back to something similar happening in our departments or in our necks of the woods. But, you know, I think that it's just very important to, again, well, with the Fire Ground Survival Program in the IFF, we talk about the 3 C's, you know, complacency, communications, and crew continuity. Those are, when you look at NIOSH line of duty death reports, those are three of the very, very most common themes. And we had an opportunity to talk to some of the NIOSH investigators at one point, and one of our instructors said, your job must be very tough. And this well-seasoned NIOSH investigator looked and said, actually, it's not. I have a spreadsheet with all of the common things that firefighters do that get them killed. And I cut and paste from event to event, because commonly they're very, very similar things that are shared from event to event. And that was very profound for this investigator to share with us. And he wasn't being nasty or talking down about it. It's just that there are very, very common themes in fire service injuries and deaths that we unfortunately see time and time again. So I think that not being, making it a habit to do things same way and consistently, and not getting complacent, and knowing where your partners and your crew members are, is a very important part of this work. And hopefully we can beat that into everyone's mind during that week of, this upcoming week of June 16th through 22nd. And, hopefully we can save a life or two, that they can credit to this webpage and all of the important resources that this team has put together.
Yeah. It's about sticking to your protocols, right? Whether your protocols are responding, a particular way, following procedures. I also think, when you look at health and wellness and cancer, there's protocols there that have been pretty well established that we seem to forget sometimes in training, because this is fire training. Well, then these are great times to add in, hey, let's talk about decon on this. Let's talk about, Jim, I love your integration with, hey, let's talk about a little bit of mental health as we go through these trainings and these scenarios. I like the, it's back to basics, but we're finding ways to integrate in all the pertinent topics within, today's fire service. Jim, I got a great question for you as far as, community, right? This is something too that kind of draws the entire fire service together. It's like there's a department on the West Coast that is, kind of following the same trainings as that on the East Coast. Is that kind of one of the goals also, as you guys are sitting in the committee, that you're trying to try to bring that sense of community to the fire service back a little bit?
Yeah, I'd say maybe subconsciously, if not consciously, but absolutely. When we're looking at how different organizations do things, right? And recently, I was very fortunate to go to California, LA City. They were putting on a review of one of their vehicle explosion. They had the commercial CNG vehicle. They kept using these terms that I didn't quite understand, and I border the state of California, right? We would say scotting up or packing out, and they're talking about regulators and air cylinders. They kept using the term light force or life force, and we finally had to raise our hand and said, What is it? What do you guys mean? What is that? So when we think of the fire service across the nation, our end result's the same. Our beginning, our middle, and end are the same. How we get there is a lot of variance and a lot of variables geographically with where you're at in this country. I see the same thing in our committee. And Chief and Grady will remember last year, I was helping put together the operations response plans for lithium ion emergencies. Well, I can talk 25 years of how we do business in a very awkward fashion in Maricopa County, because we talk backwards from everybody else. We don't follow everything NIMS, although it's a big part of our framework and what we do. But we're a little off here, and trying to write a response plan for the nation as an idea with a very narrow field of view from Maricopa County, I had to keep being reminded, like, hey, you're talking to the nation. Like, not everybody has this one piece of equipment or this one protocol. So I think to any annual safety stand down curriculum, it's not that we're not trying to water it down. We're not trying to soften the edges, but we definitely have to look to apply it to the overall nation, to the whole fire service community.
And that plays a role, like, obviously, in what you guys are trying to accomplish. But I think also then sharing different views, you know, that's one of the positives that can come from social media and Fire Rescue One. And so we encourage people to comment and, you know, start those conversations, because that's how we as a fire service grow.
Yeah. Real quick, and I would be remiss without highlighting this part. There's an entire volunteer firefighter nation out there that they are an integral part of what we do on this committee. And so we are trying to thread that needle of speaking the language, like Jim was talking about, with LA City or LA County or FDNY, you know, or down here in Sarasota. But there are departments across the country that are volunteers that just don't have the resources, nor sometimes, you know, the support for the work that's being done. So NVFC has been a vital partner in this collaboration, and they have come and stepped up in a big way. And we oftentimes get reminded that what we're talking about as career firefighters, we have to make sure that we're taking into account those volunteers that are out there and making sure that what language we're speaking, that they can understand it as well, and that it's a value back to them, because that's an important part of how we respond nationwide.
Yeah, and the stuff that's on the website doesn't have to just be from June 16th to 22nd, you know, because some of the departments volunteer, on-call paid, they don't meet, you know, maybe they might meet that week, but if they don't, there is enough material, ideas for drills, resources on there for, I would say, a year's worth of drills, in which we encourage people to go, not just that week, obviously, but keep referring back to the website.
So real quick, the website, it does stay up all year until we decide to choose the next topic. But we are working in the background to archive the content so that we'll have, you know, the past content that would be up on the website for folks to pull down, you know, especially like in the lithium ion batteries, situational awareness, traffic incident management, some of the past that we've had. But we're working diligently to try to make sure that we make sure that the resources remain available.
Perfect. And that was one of my questions too, because the stuff from last year and obviously the back to basics training here, you can use all year round for years and years and years. Gentlemen, I can't thank you enough for coming on and giving us the back end approach to the firefighter safety stand down, the topics. But you're not done yet. We always have a couple of questions. We call them our hot seat questions. And since this is a party, we're going to condense it a little bit with just two questions, but you each are going to be thrown in the hot seat. And Janelle, get us started.
I will. However, before we do that, I would like to ask you a question, Sam. What are you going to do for your crews for Safety Stand Down Week?
I actually am going to try to give my crew an opportunity to just survey them a little bit and see where they would like to focus. First off, that's the first question I would have. And then see as a department how that aligns with our training division. You know, I'm very fortunate to have this conversation today, go to shift tomorrow and be a little bit ahead of everybody else. So of course, you know, where my emails are going to be directed tomorrow is to the training division, who is my former officer who I have a great working relationship with, and see how they're going to integrate it in. But I can see there's a lot of value to integrating in not only this week, but some of the stuff that we didn't get to, I'm going to try to throw on our calendar. As we continue on, I really like the integrating in just different messages. I like the message of decon. I like the message of always, you know, wearing proper PPE on fires, especially during overhaul. I believe that that message should be hit at every training. And then I go back to what Jim said about, even throwing a little mental health stuff in there and, using these drills to kind of look in the mirror and see where you can evaluate to get better personally and then as a crew. So, yeah, good question. Catch me off guard. I love it.
All right, now we'll dig in. We'll start with the chief. What's your favorite drill?
I'll go back to the day that we had on the drill ground with the vent inter-isolate search, because we took all the different pieces and the parts. We went through them individually on the drill ground. And there's nothing better than getting out of the office, and for me as a chief officer, finding my turnouts in the back of my vehicle, wherever they might be. And then, getting in them to actually do firefighter, sorts of activities. So that is probably my favorite with, I would say a very, very either close second or equally was when we got to do the firefighter survival curriculum.
Great. Captain, how about you?
So favorite drill, and please make fun if you want. I'm a career truckie. Now I'm solidly rooted in safety right now, but my heart lies on a ladder truck and ventilation training. Hands down, anytime we're running chainsaws and K-12s or rescue saws, there's just something about that it might be destroying my hearing a little bit, but man, it puts a smile on my face. So
he's got the mustache for it, let's be honest. I mean, he kind of looks like a truck guy.
It's great. Yeah.
I'm jealous. I can't do one, but
all right, Grady, how about you? Favorite drill?
From the IFS Fire Ground Survival Training Program, I really appreciate the Grab Lives drill, which if anyone goes onto the Safety Stand Down website under the resources, they'll see the Fire Ground Survival Training Program mentioned. And there are the self-survival skills and student performance evaluation worksheets there. What I love about that drill is that it starts with, a scenario that is based on a NIOSH line of duty death report, and it can be any structure in your area. And it basically puts firefighters into the hot seat of being the incident commander so that they can see what an incident commander is having to manage during an incident. And then it also puts the fire, incident commanders back into the shoes of their firefighter colleagues that maybe they've been in that buggy for many, many years and maybe have kind of lost the taste of what it was like to be inside of a structure and be in distress mode. And, it's just a really good drill. So I always really enjoyed that specific skill set from the Fire Ground Survival Program.
That's great. Sam, what about you? What's your favorite drill?
Well, there's a couple. On rainy days, I honestly like just to go on air. Anytime we're doing anything on air, it's kind of my favorite. It's real general, but sometimes it can be a couple of shifts before something like, happens where you have to go on. So I sometimes just like to do some mask up drills just to get people moving. I'm also one that likes to work out a little bit, so I'll do some air consumption style drills a lot. But that within that we can incorporate in ladders, we can incorporate in carrying equipment, steps, which I think you really start to realize that you need to work on your fitness when you're going up four or five steps or flights of stairs. With high rise bundles on and bottles. So, my favorite now is air consumption stuff. Okay, you guys, one more question though, which is really obviously the theme of the show is the title of the show is Better Every Shift. And so we really like to conclude with our guests with a simple question of how are you getting better? And we're going to go, Chief, you first.
Of course. So, better every shift. I mean, every day is a training day. All of us aspire to be learning and growing and stretching, get out of our comfort zone, so that as we continue to develop our skills, that we're going to be, better to respond, to those folks who need our help you know, at the time that they really need it. So they're expecting a brain surgeon, an engineer, or, you know, a scientist at times to show up. But we all have to, you know, raise our game. And so learn something new every day. So that's my takeaway.
Captain, I'm going to go to you. How, what are you working on to get better?
That has to be a two-part question for me, because I've been taught by a lot of my colleagues recently that we have to prepare to be retired, right? There's a process. It's not just turn the lights off, walk across the threshold, and you're done. So here I am in my last 3 years. I am preparing, starting to condition my mind. I'm trying to slow down, trying to pay attention a little bit more, watch the world go by. But in that, I try to be a great example for our firefighters. We have a very young organization. We're more like an upside down, we're more like a pyramid, upside down pyramid, sorry, right now. And I try to walk the walk and show them a good example of what somebody they can not only by do right by the citizens that they serve, but also our peers, and especially in a multi-jurisdictional area like ours, try to find value in everybody. And just kind of, I'm an old Army guy. Like to say, in the NCO creed, it was always follow me. So we lead from the front, and we expect our troops to line up behind me, but they'll never have to go in front of me. So that's me.
That's an example. And Grady, I think you can give him some advice on retirement, right?
I mean, I was retired for 3 days before I started working at the IFF. So yeah, take those 3 days and really enjoy yourself, Jim. I appreciate this opportunity for the podcast. And for me, I think it's every single day trying to slow myself down and understand that, you know, everything is a team effort. And sometimes it just takes time to get from point A to point B. And it's for me now, not being in the fire station environment, you know, it doesn't have to be crisis mode. I can plan things out and work through things from beginning to end without, you know, fear of someone in my office dying because I didn't get them an answer right away. So that's versus the reality of what is out there in the fire and EMS station. So this has been Jim, best of luck to you as you prepare for that retirement time. I'm sure we'll still see you on these things. And, as Darren said, you're never really retired. So,
no, but I think it's a great, you know, mindset shift that, you know, even when we're ready to step down, there should be a plan in place for it. Just like when we're talking about training, there should be a plan in place for it. Your daily protocols, you should have your own plan as far as your health and your wellness. And obviously the theme comes back to, the different things that you guys have mentioned and that you're trying to improve on. So thank you so much for your insight. Thanks for your dedication to Firefighter Safety Stand Down. Again, the week is from June 16th to the 22nd, and the resources are valid all year for your career. Why? You don't just have to focus that week. We want you to do that. But then you can actually extrapolate a lot of those drills and lessons learned throughout the rest of the year and your career. For those that are just listening to us, first of all, thanks for joining us. You're missing out a little bit there. You can watch us through Fire Rescue One. We have a Better Every Shift page. You can also go to the Better Every Shift podcast YouTube page to see us in video. Highly encourage you to do that. Please rate and review the show, whether you're listening or watching. You can also email us at bettereveryshift@firerescueone.com. And I want to summarize a little bit about the great things that and resources that are offered through Firefighter Safety Stand Down, and what these gentlemen here that have dedicated their lives to the fire service and working to improve it. I think we can all take lessons from slowing down, paying attention, setting the example, and remembering that every day is training day. And whether your organization supports it or not, you can always look in the mirror and you can learn something, do something, and share something to make you and those around you better every shift. Thanks for listening, everybody.